Afternoon Theatre.
We present The Prince of Plunder, one of the many colorful stories written by the late Sidney Haller. This story of blackmail in West End society has been adapted for radio by Rex Renitz. The Prince of Plunder.
If I may have your attention, gentlemen. Thank you. What I have to say won't take long. For some time now, the Commissioner and I have been worried about the increase of blackmail in this country. As the senior officers of Scotland Yard, you're the eyes and ears of the law, so you must be aware of it. A great number of men and women have paid dearly and are still paying in hard cash for their indiscretions of the past. Some have even been driven to take their own lives. Now, we know as a matter of cold statistics that particular forms of crime tend to come in waves, or in cycles, if you like. It may well be that this is just another cycle, that the success of one blackmailer has perhaps encouraged other people to emulate him. On the other hand, we have had a number of stories in the press lately suggesting the existence of a highly efficient organization controlled, so our Fleet Street friends would have us believe, by a person who calls himself the Prince of Plunder.
You can't believe the papers, sir.
You know what those boys would like to chance anything for a story?
Prince Plunder, it's a load of rubbish.
I've never heard a more unlikely story.
What do you think, Clavering?
Hard to say, sir. Sounds a bit fantastic, I admit. Still, there might be something in it.
Oh, no.
Where's the evidence?
Well, there's no actual evidence, perhaps, but I've handled 3 blackmail cases in the last 12 months, and they all seem to follow much the same pattern.
Exactly. Inspector Clavering's put his finger right on the vital spot. There is a similar pattern, very similar, in almost every case we've had lately. The victims have been prominent in their professions or business or society, and the information on which they've been blackmailed has come from stolen letters or documents. Yes. Indeed, there's a suggestion that servants are being paid large sums for material of this kind.
Any proof of that, sir?
Unfortunately, no. At the moment, it's only a theory. We've nothing tangible at all.
Doesn't that bear out that it is one person, sir? Or at least one organization?
How do you mean, Inspector?
Well, sir, let's say there have been 20 cases. If there were 20 different blackmailers, surely at least 2 or 3 of them would have bungled the job and been nabbed.
That's quite a point. As I say, gentlemen, we don't know. The Prince of Plunder may exist, or he may be a mere figment of journalistic imagination. But this current wave of blackmail does exist, and it's our job to do something about it. My job and yours, gentlemen. Yes. Yes. And the sooner it's checked and stopped, the better for all concerned.
Hello?
Is that you, Clavering? Morley here, Assistant Commissioner.
Oh, yes, sir.
I've been trying to get you for 10 minutes.
My wife and I have just got back from the cinema, sir.
Sorry to spoil your evening, but I have an urgent job for you. Heard of Charles Crandon?
The Wimpole Street surgeon?
That's the man. He collapsed and died half an hour or so ago at a dinner party given by Lady Blanchard. 341 Curzon Street.
Heart, sir?
No, it's more serious than that, I believe. Sir Brian Fordingham of MI6 was a guest at the dinner.
Oh, yes.
It was he who rang me. He seems to think it was suicide. You better get over there right away.
Very good, sir. Wouldn't it happen to me?
Now, Lady Blanchard, may I first have a list of your guests, please?
Oh, yes, Inspector. We're only a small party. Poor Mr. Crandon, of course.
Yes.
And then there's Sir Brown Fordingham.
Hello, Clavering.
How do you do, sir?
Oh, you know each other.
Yes, indeed. The Inspector and I are old friends.
Oh, really? This is Sir Gilbert Mildmay.
Sir Gilbert Mildmay. Address, please, sir?
8 Winston Court. It's just off Belgrave Square.
8 Winston Court. And your occupation, sir?
I am an actor, sir.
Oh, yes, of course. I thought the name was vaguely familiar.
Well, really.
Such is fame, Gilbert.
May I have your name, sir?
This is Sir Hector Panderville.
Address, 231 Lounge Square.
And your occupation, sir?
Occupation? Well, I suppose you'd better put me down as a dilettante.
A what, sir?
Dilettante. It means that I go through life doing nothing of importance very pleasantly. I like good food and good wine. I listen to good music, and I collect beautiful things, particularly pictures.
You must have heard of Sir Hector's collection of Cezanne. It's famous throughout the country.
Oh, my dear Lady Blanchard, you exaggerate its importance. Is there any more you wish to know, Inspector?
Not for the moment, sir.
And your name, sir?
Clark Hungerford.
You're an American, Mr. Hungerford.
Yes, that's right. Diplomatic service. American Embassy, 1 Grosvenor Square.
Been over here long?
No, just a few months. I came on the staff of our new ambassador, Mr. Jameson Carew.
Thank you.
And you, if I'm not mistaken, sir, are Mr. Gerald Lester.
You know me, Inspector?
Only by sight. Twickenham, 3 years ago. England versus Wales.
So, you're a rugger fan?
Used to play a bit myself, sir. Years ago.
I say, you're not the Clavering. Played forward for England,
35, sir.
Well, you are. I'll be... Sorry, Lady Blanchard.
Yes, sir.
We must get together sometime, Inspector.
We certainly must, sir. Now, may I have your address?
Yes. 18 Talbury Place, Piccadilly. Mm.
And your occupation?
Well, I'm afraid I haven't one, really. You see, I came into a legacy and I...
Quite, sir. I'll put you down as gentleman.
Oh, thank you, Inspector.
And my last guest, Inspector, is this young lady, Miss Judith Farrell.
Your address, please, miss?
84 Beckwith Square, Kensington. Do you want my occupation?
Yes, please.
I'm a fashion artist.
Thank you. And that's the lot, is it, Lady Blanchard?
Yes.
Well, now, Sir Brian, suppose you tell me exactly what happened.
I think Miss Farrell's the one to do that. She was seated on Mr. Crandon's right.
Well, Miss Farrell?
There's not much to tell, really. Mr. Crandon and I were talking when the butler interrupted us and handed him a note. Just a small folded piece of paper, really.
You'd better explain about that, Robert.
Yes, m'lady. It was handed to me at the front door, sir, by a person.
What sort of person?
Well, sir, he was a sharp-looking character, a bit of a villain, I'd say.
Had you ever seen him before?
No, sir.
Did he say anything to you?
Oh, yes, sir.
What?
You want his exact words, sir?
If you can remember them, yes.
Well, sir, he said, you've got a guy in here called Crandon. And then he pushed the note into my hand and said, give him this. It's urgent and it's personal, see?
And then?
But then he went, sir.
Would you recognize him again?
Oh, it was fairly dark, sir, but I've got a good memory for faces. I think I would.
Good. So, you took the note straight to Mr. Crandon?
Oh, immediately, sir.
Thank you, Robert.
Oh, right, sir.
Right, well, let's get back to you now, Miss Farrell.
Well, Mr. Crandon read the note and then slipped it into his pocket.
Did he seem disturbed at all?
Yes, very. I tried to pick up our conversation again, but he didn't seem to be listening. I turned away for a minute to speak to the person on my other side. Then I turned back, just in time to see Mr. Crandon slip a tablet of some sort into his mouth.
You actually saw him take something?
Mm.
You're quite sure?
I can bear that out, Inspector. I was sitting quite opposite. I saw it myself.
Thank you, Mr. Lester. Yes, Miss Farrell?
2 or 3 seconds later, he gave a sort of groan and slumped forward.
Perhaps I can pick up the story from there. We thought at first he'd had a seizure of some kind. 3 or 4 of us went to his assistance, but he was dead when we got to him. I realized at once he'd been poisoned.
What made you think that, Sir Brian?
There was a strong smell of almonds.
Ah, cyanide.
Yes. So instead of calling a doctor, who couldn't have helped anyhow, I rang your chief, Sir Charles Morley.
So that brings us up to date. Except for the note. Now, what happened to that?
I took charge of it. Here you are.
Well, thanks. You have until midnight to make up your mind. Sounds like a threat of some sort.
My guess is blackmail.
Well, quite agree with you, old man. I think I can tell you who.
Indeed, Sir Gilbert?
The Prince of Plunder.
Oh, my dear fellow, don't be absurd. There's no such person.
Well, nonsense, of course there is.
Well, how do you know? A lot of melodramatic claptrap, if you ask me. No. Don't you agree, Inspector?
Well, sir,
oh,
I...
Oh, dear. I just thought the newspapers... I suppose there's no chance of hushing this up, is there, Inspector?
I'm afraid not. It's bound to come out at the inquest, if not before.
Oh, dear. I don't want to be unkind, but if Mr. Crandon had to commit suicide, I do think he might have chosen elsewhere. It's so inconsiderate.
I know most of the press crowd, Lady Blanchard. I'll see if I can't persuade them to play it down.
Oh, thank you, Sir Brown.
Well, now, I'm afraid I shall have to take formal statements from all of you.
And after that, sir, are we free to go?
Certainly, Mr. Hungerford.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Miss Farrell, I've got my car outside. After the inspector's through, may I drive you home?
Well...
Oh, please. I was sort of hoping that...
Well, all right, then.
Oh, thanks a million. I've hardly had a chance to talk to you all evening. Well, this is it, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Hungerford. Good night.
Oh, you don't have to go right away, do you?
Well, it's getting late.
Can't we talk for just 2 minutes?
What about?
Oh, you...
I'm afraid I'm not very interesting.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me if I dispute that. You know, I had you figured all wrong.
Really?
Yes, I thought you were one of those social butterflies.
Sorry if I disappointed you.
Oh, on the contrary. I think every girl should have a career.
It's hardly a career. I had to take up something when Father died. I had a bit of a flair for drawing.
And so now you're a fashion artist.
Of a sort.
Lady Blanchard was telling me your father was in politics. A cabinet minister, no less.
Yes. He was a better politician than a businessman, I'm afraid. That's why I'm a working girl. But why am I telling you all this?
Why am I listening? Because we're going to be friends.
Suppose you tell me about yourself for a change.
Me?
Yes.
Well, I really am a dull character.
Oh.
Well, I graduated in law at Harvard. Did a spell in the Army. Got my discharge after I came out of hospital. Jameson Carew was an old family friend, and when he was appointed ambassador, he brought me along. Just for the trip, I guess. I've been here 3 months. Oh, I think London's wonderful. And now I want to hear some more about you. For instance, what do you do when you're not working?
Oh, go to theaters and concerts when I can afford them.
I suppose you've got lots of friends.
Not that many.
Family?
Only Tom, my brother. He's in Sir Ronald Luke's department at the Foreign Office.
Oh. Is he as nice as his sister?
Oh, Tom's all right. He's a bit reckless, perhaps.
How come?
It's the crowd he's in with. They all seem to have more money than sense.
Yeah. And he tries to keep up with them, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I've tried to tell him dozens of times that it won't work, but he won't listen.
Yeah, brothers never do. I'd like to meet him sometime.
Perhaps if you were to talk to him.
Yes, he'd tell me to go jump in the lake, and he'd be right. No, I just thought we might get on together.
I'm sure you would, Mr. Hungerford.
The name is Clark. And yours is Judy, isn't it?
Yes. And now I simply must go. Good night, Clark.
Good night, Judy.
Hello, Farrell.
Oh, hello, Lester. I didn't know you were here.
I just dropped in for a few minutes on the way home. Matter of fact, I've been to dinner at Lady Blanchard's. Your sister was there.
Judy? Oh, that must have been exciting.
Yes, it was, but not quite in the way you mean.
Huh?
That surgeon fellow, Crandon, committed suicide in full view of everyone.
What?
And poisoned himself halfway through dinner.
Why?
Oh, the police seem to think it's blackmail.
Excuse me, I must make my bed.
Yes, of course.
Number 16, I think.
How's the luck?
Oh, foul as usual. They're my last chips.
Rien ne va plus. C'est tout, s'il vous plaît.
Come on.
Yeah. Numero 15. Numero 15.
Yeah, well, that's that. Look, I hate to ask you, Lester.
Yeah?
Do you think you could oblige me with a small loan?
Well, certainly, if you really want it. But it's no good pushing your luck when it's out, you know. Why don't you call it a night?
Yes, but... Oh, maybe you're right.
Tell you what, I'm only a few minutes from here. Why not come up for a drink?
I wouldn't be very good company, I'm afraid.
Nonsense. I realize I've no right to say this, but you're in a bit of a spot, aren't you?
I am rather.
Yeah, I thought as much. It's just possible I may be able to help.
Oh, that's damn good of you, Lester.
Well, hang it all, we're friends, aren't we? Come along. We'll talk it over.
So you think it was blackmail, eh, Clavering?
It certainly looks that way, Sir Charles. The note, I mean, and... Well, I've been checking on Crandon's past. It's not exactly the open book one would expect of a Wimpole Street surgeon. Of course, I've no actual proof of anything, but there were two or three incidents years ago...
Knowledge of which could be dangerous in the wrong hands, eh?
Exactly, sir.
Any leads yet?
None at all, sir. The note was on cheap paper, writing obviously disguised. Hmm.
How about the fellow who delivered it?
I've already had the butler in, going through the rogues' gallery, sir. No luck so far.
Well, stick at it anyway.
I certainly will, sir. Excuse me.
Hmm.
Hello? Assistant Commissioner? Yes, he's here. It's for you, sir.
Oh, thanks. Morley here. Yes? Yes? I see. Very well. I'll send a man over right away. Goodbye. Didn't you say one of the dinner guests last night was a Miss Judith Farrell?
Yes, sir.
Daughter of Sir Michael Farrell, the politician?
That's right, sir.
Hmm. That was Bayswater police. They found her brother.
Found him?
In Hyde Park, with a bullet wound in his head and a revolver in his hand.
Suicide?
Looks like it. I wonder whether there could be any connection...
Between this and Crandon, sir?
Yes, maybe just a coincidence, of course.
Probably, sir. Still, there may be a link of some kind.
Exactly. Sorry to push more work onto you, Clavering, when you're up to your eyes already, but I think you're the one who should investigate this.
Very good, sir. I'll get onto it right away.
You can't mean it, Inspector. You can't.
I'm sorry, Miss Farrell.
There must be some mistake.
I'm afraid not.
It doesn't seem possible. Tom!
No. Take it easy.
I'm sorry. How did it happen?
You'd better prepare yourself for another shock. I'm sorry to have to tell you your brother took his own life.
But that's ridiculous. Tom wouldn't do a thing like that. I know he wouldn't.
The evidence is quite clear.
But...
I'm sorry.
If you say it's right, I suppose it must be.
If it's any consolation, he didn't suffer at all.
Why did he do it? Why?
He was very heavily in debt, or didn't you know that?
I realized he was probably living beyond his income, but I had no idea. I mean, surely for the sake of a few £100s...
It was considerably more than that, I'm afraid. About 3,000.
3,000?
He'd been gambling rather heavily in a small club off Piccadilly, roulette mainly.
How do you know all this?
That's our job, Miss Fowle, to find out such things. Last night your brother was at this club. He gave the proprietor, a Greek named Pirelli, an IOU for £50 and lost the lot. Altogether, Pirelli holds his IOUs for just on 2,000.
Was it in the club that happened?
No. Quite some time later. Your brother left the club with someone you know, Mr. Gerald Lester.
Yes. He was at Lady Blanchard's last night.
From there, he went to the club where he met your brother, persuaded him not to play anymore, and took him to his flat for a drink. He guessed your brother was in some sort of trouble and thought he might be able to help.
That was good of him.
Of course, he had no idea he was so deeply involved. When he learned how much it was...
Tom told him.
So it seems. Anyway, he realized there was nothing much he could do. He offered to lend your brother £500 if he promised not to gamble again. But your brother wouldn't accept. In fact, Lester says he rather resented the offer.
Knowing Tom, I imagine he would. I'm surprised he discussed his affairs at all. It's quite unlike him.
You know how it is, Miss Farrell. Sometimes you've just got to get a thing off your chest. Mayhard did no good. He left Lester's flat about 1 o'clock.
And after that?
We can only guess his movements from then on. Somehow he must have got hold of a revolver. The doctor thinks death took place about 3 a.m., so I imagine he probably walked in the park for a couple of hours and then decided the only way out was to end it all.
And you say he didn't suffer. What about the mental agony he must have gone through in those 2 hours? And all the misery over the past weeks and months?
I know, Miss Farrell. An old story, of course, but always a tragic one. Believe me, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Thank you, Inspector. Do I have to identify him or anything like that?
Mr. Lester's already done that. Oh. I'm sure the coroner will accept his identification.
The coroner? Of course. There'll have to be an inquest, won't there?
Yes, it's fixed for tomorrow morning. There may be no need to call you, but I'm afraid we shall want you there in case.
All right, Inspector. I understand.
Well, gentlemen, have you agreed upon a verdict?
Yes, sir, we have. In view of all the circumstances, there seems no doubt that the financial position of the deceased preyed upon him to such an extent as to render him temporarily of unsound mind. And we find that he took his own life while in this state.
Thank you, members of the jury. I'm bound to add that in my opinion, you have given the only possible verdict.
Ah, there you are, Miss Farrell. Can I drop you anywhere?
Oh, good of you to offer, Mr. Lester, but...
No, please. My time is my own. It's no trouble.
Well, in that case, thank you.
Splendid. Now, where to?
I think I may as well go back to work.
Where's that?
Buckland & Smart, Regent Street.
You wouldn't perhaps care to have a spot of lunch first?
If you don't mind.
All right, I quite understand. Bucknell & Smart it is. Miss Farrell, I'm sure you don't want me to make all the conventional noises of sympathy, but may I just say one thing?
Of course.
Tom was my friend. I did try to help him.
I know that, and I'm grateful.
I'd like to think of you as my friend, too. So if there's anything I can do at any time, any little thing at all, please don't hesitate to say the word.
Thank you.
And having got that off my chest, let's say no more about it.
It's just past the next light.
Ah, I see, there.
That's it.
May I give a final word of advice?
Of course.
I hope this doesn't sound too pompous, but don't brood. It'll do no good, you know.
I'll try not to.
The way I see it, a man has the right to do what he likes with his own life. And if Tom decided the only solution was, see my point?
Yes. Except, of course, that I don't believe for a minute he did commit suicide.
What? But surely the coroner...
The coroner didn't know Tom. I did.
Even so, the evidence...
I realized he was in a jam, but he'd have stuck it out somehow. Whatever else he may have been, he wasn't a coward.
I understand how you feel, but if you'd seen him when he left my flat, he was really desperate.
All the same, he didn't take his own life. I'm convinced of it.
But then, forgive me asking, how did he die?
I believe he was murdered.
Murdered? By whom?
I don't know.
For what reason, then?
I don't know that either. But I'm going to find out if it takes the rest of my life. Hello, Betty.
Judy, what on earth are you doing here?
I work here, remember?
Oh, look, my dear, I know I'm a slave driver, but what, surely you could take a couple of days off?
I'd rather be working than moping in the flat.
Well, you could go to a cinema or have your hair done or something. It would take your mind off things.
I'd be all right, really.
Well, it's up to you, my dear. But if you're determined, you might as well start with the Vanya Dean assignment.
The actress, you mean?
Well, that's how she's officially described.
Don't tell me she's descended to Bucknell and Smart. What have we got that Dior hasn't?
A credit account, dear. She's been resting these last 3 months. And I shouldn't imagine she'd get much out of that current boyfriend of hers, Ronnie Luke.
Sir Ronald Luke? He was Tom's chief. You don't mean that he and Miss Dean...
Oh, darling, everyone knows. Can't be for his money. It's probably all he can do to pay his alimony. I'm reluctantly forced to conclude it must be love.
Anyway, no business of ours. What's this assignment you mentioned?
She's condescended to give us a trial. She wants something for formal evening wear. I thought, perhaps that slinky black thing you sketched the other day.
You mean that chiffon cocoon?
Yeah, with the waist-level neckline, yes. It's up to you to convince her it's just what she's been looking for.
Do you want me to see her?
Yes, at her flat. 2:30.
What's the address?
87 Selwood Square.
Mm.
And if you do sell it to her, my dear, you're on a bonus.
I do the best I can.
Good. I knew you would. How do you feel, Judy?
Oh, I'm all right.
Bit numb still?
Bit.
No hitches at the inquest?
No. Everything went according to plan.
Oh, well, that's a relief anyway. Was he there?
Was who there?
Well, that American you met the other night. The one you thought so nice. Clark, what's his name?
Of course he wasn't. Why should he be?
Well, if I were in his shoes, I know I'd have been. After all that talk about let's be friends and so on.
You don't think I believed all that, do you?
Well, the way you spoke, I did sort of get that idea.
He's probably even forgotten my name by now.
Disillusioned all of a sudden, aren't we?
Oh, Betty. Anyway, he mightn't even know about Tom. I mean, it was only a small paragraph in the papers.
Mm, determined to find an excuse for him, aren't you?
I'm trying to be fair, that's all. If you don't mind, I'd rather not discuss him anymore.
Okay, my dear. Anything you say.
Hello.
Oh, Mr. Hungerford. There's a gentleman asking for you. A Mr. Brooke.
Not George Brooke.
Yes, sir.
Well, send him in right away.
Yes, sir.
George, you old son of a gun.
Hello, Clark.
Of all the people in the world... I've been looking for you ever since I got to London.
I've been away.
I figured you must be dead or something. Gosh, how long has it been, George?
Oh, it must be nearly 3 years.
Yes, I guess it must be. How long have you been in England?
I got in this morning.
And you came to see me right away?
I just had a yen to gaze on that ugly mug of yours again for 5 minutes. How's the embassy job going?
Oh, fine.
Quite the big diplomat now, eh?
Well, I'm learning as I go along. But what about you, George? Back in City Street?
In a way.
How do you mean? Military administration?
Not exactly.
Okay, if it's some sort of secret.
Well, between ourselves, and I mean between ourselves...
Yeah.
I'm a sort of cloak and dagger boy.
Secret service?
Something like that.
Boy, do you have all the luck. And here's me wearing striped pants and going to garden parties. What do you do?
Oh, we managed to fill in time. At the moment, I'm looking for a man.
Who?
I don't quite know. I think his name's Lert.
Oh, what do you want him for?
Murder.
Oh, I thought that was for the cops.
No, not this kind. It was one of our own fellows, a chap named Gataker.
Sort of private and personal, huh?
Very. He got on the trail of some racketeers who were buying stuff in a big way, steel and alloys and so on, and smuggling it behind the Iron Curtain through dummy companies in Switzerland.
Yes, I'd heard that kind of thing was going on.
Anyway, Gattaker disappeared, and a day or so later, his body was washed up on the rocks near Antibes.
And you figure the guy who did it is here in England?
Yes.
Well, let's hope you find him. Say, George, now, this calls for a drink. Let's go.
I don't think I'll have the time.
Oh, nonsense. Listen, I'm an honorary member of a club just around the corner. All the best people. It'll only take 5 minutes.
Well, just the one, then. I really am in a hurry. I have an appointment with my chief, Fordingham, in half an hour.
Oh, Fordingham, eh? He's a nice guy. I met him the other night at a dinner party.
Oh?
Well, let's get going, shall we? Just one more drink, George.
No, no, really. I must fly.
Well, okay. I'll finish this and walk along.
No need for you to rush away, too. I'll find my own way out.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't even have your address or phone number yet.
I'll give you a ring in a day or so, I promise. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye for now. And don't you forget.
Be or not to be, that is the question. Lost in thought, Mr. Hungerford?
Oh, hello, Sir Gilbert.
Hello, Mr. Hungerford.
You remember Sir Hector Pandeville, of course.
Yes, certainly. How do you do, sir?
Gilbert has a theory that no man should drink alone. Bad for the soul, he says, not to mention the morale. You mind if we join you?
Oh, not at all, sir. May I order for you?
No. We already have our drinks. Well, you've quite got over that extremely nasty experience of the other night, I trust.
Oh, sure.
Lady Blanchard was right, you know. It really was most inconsiderate of Crandon.
Well, I guess he must have been so scared stiff over that note, he didn't stop to think of anything.
Gilbert still insists it was sent by our mythical friend, the Prince of Plunder, of course.
Now listen to me, old boy.
My dear fellow, must we start that all over again?
You still say it's a lot of melodramatic nonsense, eh?
I do, yes.
Then what have you to say to this? A month from now, I shall be the Prince of Plunder.
You? Oh, really, Gilbert?
Oh, on the stage, of course. Oh, he won't actually be called the Prince of Plunder, but same sort of character, you know, master blackmailer and so on.
Well, far be it from me to teach you your business, Gilbert, but are you being wise?
Danny Hector, I've been in the theater 35 years. I should know a good part when I see one.
You always take a perverse delight in missing my point. I'm simply saying that you built your reputation on sympathetic roles.
An actor must be versatile, my dear boy. Think of all the great ones. Garrick, Keane, Irving. Anyhow, this part is sympathetic.
A blackmailer, really, my dear fellow.
To the last minutes, at any rate. Well-known social figure, wealthy bachelor, hordes of friends, and so on.
Without wishing to be immodest, that seems a fair description of myself. I trust he isn't by any chance also an art collector.
No, here's the wonderful payoff, old boy. He's an actor. Well, damn it, a successful blackmailer would need to be a pretty good actor, wouldn't he?
Well, it's a point, of course, but...
I'm telling you, it's the best part I've had for years. It'll put me right back on top.
Well, you know your own business best, I suppose. Oh, by the way, Mr. Hungerford.
Yes?
You remember meeting a Miss Farrell at Lady Blanchard's, I dare say.
I certainly do.
Unfortunate about that brother of hers, wasn't it?
What was that, sir?
Oh, my dear boy, haven't you heard?
No, not a thing. I knew she had a brother, of course.
Tragic business. He committed suicide. Shot himself.
Are you sure, sir?
Well, of course it was in all the newspapers.
I didn't see it.
Oh, just a paragraph. I think the inquest was this morning.
Gosh, poor kid. Well, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'd like to go and phone her right away.
Hello?
I'd like to talk with Miss Farrell, please.
I'm sorry, she's not here at the moment.
Do you have her home number?
Well, you won't get her there either. She has a business appointment.
When will she be back?
I'm afraid I couldn't say.
But I've got to see her. It's urgent.
Well, if you'd like to leave your name, I'll tell her you rang.
Oh, yes, do that, please. My name's Clark Hungerford. Tell her I'll be at the American Embassy, and will she call me as soon as she comes in? You won't forget.
Of course not.
Well, thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, well. Perhaps he didn't know after all.
So you think with the waistline altered, it really would suit me?
I'm sure it would.
You're not just selling me a line, I hope.
I'm not a sales girl, Miss Dean. I'm a designer.
Ah, and that puts me right in my place, doesn't it?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean...
Forget it. All right, I'll take your word. Tell Miss Sloane to book the order.
Thank you.
And tell her if it doesn't turn out like the sketch, I'll tear it into little shreds.
I'll tell her. Thank you, Miss Dean.
Do you have to go yet? I get so bored by myself all day. Wouldn't you like a cup of tea or a drink or something?
I'm sorry. I'm expected at the office. If there's anything else you want at any time, you will get in touch, won't you?
I don't even know your name yet.
You mean my...
Aren't you Tom's sister? He showed me a picture of you one night.
You knew my brother?
Of course. He was on Ronnie's staff. Sir Ronald Luke, I mean. That's how we met.
Did you know him well?
Not as well as I'd have liked. Ronnie took a poor view of it. You know what men are. Didn't he ever mention me to you?
We didn't see each other very much.
Poor Tommy. When I read about it in the paper, I... But I mustn't talk about it. It must have been a frightful shock.
I've got over the worst of it now.
I wonder what really happened.
How do you mean?
Would you really believe he was the kind of person who commits suicide just because of a few little gambling debts?
No, I don't.
Nor do I. Whatever it was something a lot more serious than that. And if you ask me, Gerald Lester could supply the answer if he chose.
Mr. Lester?
You know Gerald, don't you?
Yes, of course. But you can't mean...
Oh, I'm not suggesting he was personally involved or anything like that. But I think Tom told him the real reason, and he's keeping quiet about it.
But why should he?
To save a scandal, perhaps? Protect someone's name? It hasn't occurred to you, for instance, that Tom was being blackmailed by somebody?
Blackmailed? Look, if you know anything, why don't you say it instead of just dropping hints like this?
I'm sorry. Now I have upset you.
Of course you've upset me. What do you know about Tom?
Nothing, my dear. I was just theorizing, that's all. But all the same, if I were you, I'd have a long talk with Gerald Lester at the first opportunity.
Would you like a liqueur, Judy?
No, thank you.
It is all right to call you Judy, I hope.
Yes, of course.
So you think I didn't tell the police or the coroner the whole truth about my talk with Tom?
I can't help feeling there must have been something else.
You still think he was murdered?
Yes.
Well, perhaps you're right.
Then you do know something?
Not exactly, but... good evening, Hungerford.
Good evening. Hello, Miss Farrell.
Good evening.
I hope I'm not butting in, but I saw you across the room and thought I'd step over for a moment.
Have a drink?
Well, no, thanks. I can't stay. I'm dining with Mr. Carew.
Oh.
Miss Farrell, I called you up today, but you weren't in.
Really? I got no message.
Didn't you? I left one. I just wanted to say... Well, you see, I'd just heard about your brother. I'm terribly sorry.
Thank you.
If there's anything I can do any time, you will let me know, won't you?
Of course.
Well, I guess I'd better be getting back to my table now. Good night.
Good night.
Nice fellow, Hungerford.
Yes, I suppose so. You were saying about Tom...
Oh, yes. I received a rather strange letter this afternoon. Oh, dash, I left it at my flat.
What sort of letter?
It was anonymous. I can't remember the exact wording, but it said that if I wished to know the secret of Tom's death, I should advertise in the personal column of the Times next Monday, fixing an appointment to meet a person called The Watchman.
What an extraordinary thing.
But
why pick on you?
Well, I suppose it's because Tom and I were friends. Would you like to see the letter?
I would rather.
Let's finish our coffee, then. We'll go to the flat. That's strange. I left it here in this bureau. I'm sure I did.
Perhaps it's in one of the drawers.
I don't think so, but we'll soon see. No. Not there. Amos! Well, it must be somewhere about.
You called, sir?
That letter I got this afternoon.
The one delivered by hand, sir?
Yes, I left it here on the bureau. Have you moved it?
No, sir.
Has anyone been here since I left?
Oh, only the man to inspect the telephone, sir.
Inspect the telephone? What was wrong with it?
Oh, I don't know. He said there'd been a complaint.
Well, certainly not from me. Was he alone in this room at all?
Well, yes, sir. For a few minutes.
Thank you, Amos.
Well, you don't think, sir, that...
All right, Amos.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
You think someone came here to steal the letter?
Just seems fairly obvious.
You mean...
I mean, the man who wrote the letter and I won't be the only ones who'll turn up. There'll be a third person. Someone who's determined I shan't learn the truth about Tom.
In that case, you'd better not make the appointment.
Why not?
I shouldn't want you to run any risks on my account. It wouldn't be fair.
Fair? Oh, I'd do anything for you, Judy. Anything at all.
That's very kind of you, but...
Don't you realize what I'm trying to tell you? Don't turn away, Judy. Please, I've got to say this. I know it's neither the right time nor the right place, but when I first met you...
Oh, there's the doorbell.
Oh, never mind about that. Please listen to me, Julia. I'm so head over heels in love that I can't...
You mustn't. Please let me go. help.
Be kind to me, Judy.
Please.
Hey, what goes on here?
Clark!
What the devil are you doing here? This happens to be my flat.
And this young lady you've been mauling around happens to be a friend of mine.
Get out, or I'll throw you out.
Brother, you asked for it. Come on, Judy, let's beat it.
I hope you realize...
Look, are you going to go quietly, or do I have to carry you out?
You have absolutely no right.
Okay, let's go.
Well, the point is, Sir Brian, that if...
Excuse me, Brooke. Fordingham here. No, I'm engaged at the moment. I can't talk to anyone. I'll ask him to ring me again in 10 minutes, will you? Right. Oh, sorry about that. Now, Brooke, you were saying?
I was saying I saw Lertz last night.
You did?
I think it was Lertz. He sprang out from a doorway and tried to knife me. We had a bit of a scuffle, then he landed me one on the jaw and ran for it.
Did you get a good look at him?
That's the trouble. It was dark, but I'm pretty certain it was him.
So, you were right about his being in London.
And about him killing Gattaker.
How do you make that out?
He must know I'm after him. And he must know why. Otherwise, why would he try to murder me?
That's a reasonable thesis, but it's still not proof, you know.
Oh, I'll get proof, all right, as soon as I can lay my hands on him.
Need any assistance?
No, thanks. This is personal.
Yes, I see your point. Well, anything else you want to discuss while you're here?
Just one thing, Sir Brian.
Yes?
Apart from you and myself, who else knew Gattaker was on this mission?
No one. Well, that's to say, no one but the PM and Sir Ronald Luke.
Luke, eh?
Yes, the whole inquiry originated through him, at least through his department.
I've been hearing one or two stories about Sir Ronald.
Oh?
How long has this affair of his been going on with that actress, Vanya Dean?
About 7 or 8 months, I believe.
Anything known about Miss Dean?
What, you mean departmentally?
Yes.
Good Lord, no.
Ever had her investigated?
Certainly not.
It might be worthwhile, you know.
Hmm?
Why? Well, it can hardly be Luke's appearance that attracts her. It certainly isn't his money. And 7 or 8 months is quite a long time.
Yes, Miss Dean? Yes? Yes, we'll send them round. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
You've done it, Judy.
Hmm?
She's not only taken the black dress, but she wants us to prepare sketches of 3 others. Well, you might try to look a little pleased about it.
Sorry.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, come on, darling.
What would you think if you were... Well, if you were with someone and someone else burst in and knocked him down and then flung you over his shoulder as though you were a sack and carried you out?
Is that what happened?
Now, I've never been so humiliated in my life.
It's a good sign when they're prepared to fight for you. It shows they mean business.
But he lied to me, too. He said he tried to get in touch with me yesterday.
Oh, so he did. Oh, didn't I tell you?
No.
It was while you were at Vanya Dean's. Oh, I must have forgotten.
Oh, Betty, how could
you?
Oh,
I'm sorry, darling.
Now you've ruined everything.
Oh, baloney. All you've got to do is ring him up and tell him.
I couldn't.
What's his number?
I don't know.
Well, we'll soon find American Embassy. It must be in the book.
Hello, this is Clark Hungerford.
It's Judy speaking.
Judy?
I'm just trying to... Well, apologize for last night.
Apologize? What for?
I behaved rather badly.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I was the guy who behaved badly.
No, it was my fault. You see, I was hurt that I hadn't heard from you.
But I did call you up. Honestly, I did, Judy.
I know. The person who took the message forgot to tell me. I've only just found out. Oh, you must think I'm terrible.
No, I don't. I think you're... Well, I think you're okay. Then is it all right?
Of course.
About hitting Lester on the chin, I mean.
You'll have to make your peace with him about that part of it.
Sure, I'll do that. I'll phone him right away. Oh, and, Judy?
Yes?
What are we going to do tonight?
Well,
You are free, I hope.
Yes.
Okay, how about dinner someplace and then maybe a theater?
That sounds wonderful.
Right. Be ready at 7. I'll be there on the dot. Bye now.
Shall I answer it, madame?
Yes, please, Marie. And if it's Sir Ronald Luke, I'm not in.
But, madame...
In fact, from now on, that's the general instruction. I don't want to talk to him or see him again.
If you will pass them the liberty, have you quarreled with him, madame?
No. I'm just sick to death of him and his nasty, niggling, narrow little mind, that's all. See who that is?
Yes, madame. This is Miss Dean's apartment. Who is it, please?
Just tell her, an old friend.
One moment, please. I will see if she is available. It's a man, madame. He will not give a name. He says he is an old friend.
It's not Sir Ronald, is it?
Oh, no, madame. A different voice altogether.
Tell him I... Oh, all right, I'll speak.
Yes, madame.
Hello, this is Vanya Dean.
How do you do, Miss Dean?
Who's that speaking?
You wouldn't know me. They call me the Prince of Plunder.
What? Is this some stupid joke?
I never joke.
Then you must be mad. There's no such person as the Prince of Plunder.
No.
Of course there isn't. It's all newspaper talk. A friend of mine told me only the other night...
A friend? You refer to Sir Ronald, perhaps?
I'm not going to waste any more time.
I think you will, Miss Dean. Do you remember a certain John Wickham?
What?
According to my records, John Wickham was hanged 15 years ago for murder. His wife, it seems, was jointly charged.
Just a minute, please. You may go, Marie.
Yes, madame.
And close the door.
Yes, madame.
That was my maid. I didn't
of
want...
Of course not. I quite understand. I was saying that Wickham's wife was jointly charged with murder. But rather quixotically, perhaps, he took all the blame. And she was acquitted. Of course, she was only young then, barely 18. I wonder how many people realize that Martha Wickham, who let her husband hang to save her own skin, is today...
That isn't true.
...is today the famous actress, Vanya Dean.
I know the evidence was against me until John spoke, but I had nothing to do with it. You've got to believe me.
Of course I believe you, but would others, do you think? Your friends, the management for whom you work, your public?
Oh, I should find out.
I might find it necessary to make known the facts in the public interest, you understand. Unless, of course...
What do you want? Money? You may as well know at once. I haven't any.
Your money doesn't interest me in the least.
What do you want, then?
It's more service.
What?
You are friendly, shall we say, with Sir Ronald Luke of the Foreign Office.
I was, you mean.
When did you break with him?
Well, I haven't actually yet, but...
Splendid. And he still believes you're in love with him.
Well, I think even anyone as stupid as Ronnie must guess I've been cooling off lately.
It will be your job, Miss Dean, to correct any such false impression.
But...
Now listen. Today, Luke received a confidential report from MI6 regarding certain companies registered in Switzerland and trading with countries in Eastern Europe. I want that report.
You mean
I? It's Luke's custom to study reports of this nature at night in his flat. All you have to do is to find out whether he's done so with this particular report, and if so, where he keeps it. What could be simpler?
Suppose he won't tell me.
That's up to you. I'll phone you again tomorrow.
I'll do the best I can.
I'm sure you will, Miss Dean. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello? Marie? Oh, damn the girl. Marie!
Yes, madame?
Get me a drink and make it strong.
Yes, madame. Shall I see you with you?
Oh, never mind, I'll answer it. Hello?
Is that you, Vanya?
Oh, Ronnie, darling. I've been hoping you'd ring. I feel as though I haven't seen you for ages.
Well, Judy, this looks like good night.
Thanks for a lovely evening, Clark.
Oh, listen to who's thanking who. This has been the most wonderful night of my life.
Nonsense.
No, I mean it, honestly. Judy, I,
Hmm?
Well, there's something I, What are we going to do tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night? Hmm. Well, I hadn't thought.
Oh, I am going to see you, aren't I? I mean, you don't have another engagement.
Well, no.
Oh, that's fine. Same time?
You're sure you want to?
Of course I'm sure. Hold everything. I've got a better idea still. Tomorrow's Saturday. Mm-hmm. You don't work Saturday afternoons, do you?
No.
Then let's take a run out someplace into the country. We can find a little pub somewhere and have
a meal. Oh, I'm afraid I can't. I have an appointment at 5:30.
5:30. Can't you put it off or something?
No, it's important. I'm to call on Sir Ronald Luke.
The Foreign Office guy?
Yes. He was my brother's chief, as you know. Tom's job was only a minor one, but all the same, it brought him in touch with things that were of a confidential nature.
Yeah.
And I've an idea that this might have had something to do with his murder.
So you still believe he was murdered?
More than ever, after talking to Gerald Lester, and after that letter he got.
You're quite sure there was a letter?
Of course. Why should he invent such a thing?
Oh, maybe he thought it was better than come up and see my etchings.
Isn't that just a little unfair to him?
Nothing could be unfair to that wolf in a sheep's clothing. Why do you laugh?
I was just remembering the way you looked when you burst into the flat. Poor Mr. Lester. He didn't really deserve it, you know.
I guess not. But I did call him up this afternoon and apologize.
That was sweet of you, Clark. How did he take it?
Oh, like an English gentleman. But I still say he's a wolf at heart, though. Anyway, don't let's talk any more about that. You were saying about Luke?
I thought he might be able to give me some clue about Tom, so I wrote asking if I could see him. I got a note back this afternoon asking me to call at his flat tomorrow.
5:30, you say?
Yes.
Well, how long do you expect you'll be with him?
Oh, it shouldn't take more than a few minutes.
Well, how about if I pick you up there at, say, 5:40? We'll have a drink at Tony's bar, and then decide what we're going to do. Is that a date?
It's a date. Good night, Clark.
Good night, Judy.
You're very quiet tonight, darling.
Am I?
Have another drink.
No, thanks.
Come on, tell me what's wrong.
Nothing.
There is. I don't like to see you like this. It worries me.
Well, if you must know, Ronnie, I've been thinking about us.
Us? How do you mean?
Wondering how much longer it's going to last.
You're not getting tired of me?
Of course not, darling.
Oh, you frightened me for a minute.
I wish I could be assured you're not getting tired of me.
My dear Vanya, don't talk such nonsense.
Is it nonsense, Ronnie?
You know it is.
You do love me, don't you?
Well, haven't I proved it over and over again? Please, Vanya, I hate to see you like this.
I'm sorry, darling, but for all we've been to each other, I just can't help feeling I mean very little to you, really. That I'm no more than a very small part of your life.
But that's quite untrue. You mean everything to me.
It's sweet of you to say it, Ronnie, but how can I? I have to share you.
What do you mean?
Well, your wife, for instance.
But you know I've asked Celia 3 times for a divorce.
Your friend.
But, darling, I've already explained.
Oh, I know. In your position, you have to be discreet. I realize, as things are, we can't be seen together, and I can't share your friends. Even your work is so secret, you can't discuss it with me.
Yes, well,
I bet before you and Celia parted, you used to talk it all over together. Husbands and wives always do. But I'm not your wife, and so... Do you realize, Ronnie, that all the time we've been with each other, you've never told me a thing about your work?
Well, you know, darling, it is rather confidential.
And you don't trust me, is that it?
No, of course not. I trust you implicitly.
Well, what is it then?
Well, you see, I'm bound by oath not to talk about it to anyone.
Oh, that amounts to much the same thing, doesn't it?
Please, Vanya, you seem determined to misunderstand.
Well, you can hardly blame me, can you? I think it's time I went.
No, but please, don't... What can I say to prove to you that...
Does it matter?
Of course it matters. You want proof. Very well. You shall have it. Look.
Oh, is that where you keep your safe? Behind the bookcase? I always knew you must have one, of course, but even that was secret. You see what I mean?
Yes, of course I do. Now, look, I'll show you whether I trust you or not. This is where I keep documents I bring home to study. You see? You can look at them if you like.
No, really, darling, I didn't...
How about this one? Hmm? Top secret. There are only 2 other copies of this report. The Prime Minister has one, the Foreign Secretary the other. It concerns the smuggling of vital raw materials to countries behind the Iron Curtain. Men have died so that this might be compiled. Go on, read it.
Read it?
Yes.
But it'd take me hours and hours, and I wouldn't know what it was about.
You said I didn't trust you.
Oh, what's wrong,
dear? I am proving I do. You do believe me now, I hope.
Oh, darling, of course I do. Please, put it away.
You're sure you don't want to read it?
Quite sure.
Very well. I'll put it back. There.
I'm sorry, Ronnie. It was beastly of me to go on like that.
That's all right. That's, another drink, shall we?
I really should be going.
Who on earth could that be at this hour?
You're not expecting anyone?
At midnight? Good Lord, no.
Why doesn't your man answer it?
It's his evening off.
Well, you better go then, haven't you?
Yes, listen, Vanya, don't misunderstand me, please, but it might be embarrassing if you were to be found here.
Is there any other way out?
No, you'll have to go into the bedroom.
I may be there for hours.
I'll get rid of whoever it is as quickly as I can. Please, darling, be a good girl.
Well, all right.
All right. I'm coming. Oh, it's you, Boyle.
Good evening, Luke. Sorry to trouble you at this late hour, but may I come in?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Thank you. Are you alone?
Yes.
Quite sure.
What do you mean? Oh, the Carters.
Yes.
I had a friend in earlier on. I haven't cleared up yet.
Miss Dean, perhaps.
Now, look here, Fordingham.
Sorry to be so blunt. You know my job, Luke. You know there are times when I have unpleasant duties to perform. This is one of them, I'm afraid.
I don't understand.
I think you do. As a general rule, a man's private life belongs to himself, and we've known for a long time of this liaison between you and Miss Dean, but we've had certain inquiries made, Luke.
What sort of inquiries?
Into Vanya Dean's background. I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but do you think it wise that a man in your highly responsible position, a man with access to vital secrets...
Get out of here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Luke, don't be a complete fool.
Get out, I said.
So that's your answer?
Yes.
Very well. But don't say you weren't warned. Now don't bother, I'll let myself out.
Damn secret service types. All the same.
Well, that's just about the limit. What? Practically accused me of being a spy.
Now, Vanya, wait a minute.
Well, that's what it amounts to, doesn't it? You might at least have defended me.
But I did.
I always knew you were spying.
Oh, Vanya.
How could you have stood there and let him say those dreadful things? This is the end, Ronnie.
Oh, Vanya, please. No, wait, please. Wait, listen
good
to
night.
Me.
Good night.
Oh, Vanya.
And goodbye.
Oh, Vanya.
Hello, this is Miss Dean's apartment.
Can I speak to Miss Dean, please?
Who is speaking?
Never mind, she'll know.
Yes, sir. It's a gentleman, madame. The same one as yesterday, I think.
Thank you, Marie. There's no need for you to stay.
Very well, madame.
Hello.
Well, Miss Dean?
The report's in a wall safe in his sitting room, hidden behind a bookcase. To get at it, you have to pick out a book called Green's History of England.
Splendid. You've done very well, Miss Dean.
Have I your word that you won't bother me again?
Certainly. Except for one small final service.
What's that?
The flat must be empty when our man enters it tonight. We shall rely upon you to arrange that, please.
But I can't.
Why not?
After I'd learned about the report, Sir Ronald and I quarreled. I told him I never wanted to see him again.
That's unfortunate. You'll have to find some way to patch it up, I'm afraid.
But I couldn't. I mean, after all the things I said...
A clever and beautiful woman can do anything when she tries.
So very well.
You will make sure that the flat is empty at 11 o'clock tonight. How you do it is your own concern. Goodbye, Miss Dean.
Good afternoon, Sir Ronald.
You're Miss Farrell, I take it?
Yes.
Come in, please.
Thank you. It was kind of you to agree to see me.
I doubt if it'll serve any good purpose. However, you mentioned in your letter that you wish to discuss certain aspects of your brother's death.
Yes.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I know no more than the bare fact that he committed suicide in Hyde Park.
I believe he was murdered.
But surely the gun was in his hand.
It could have been put there by whoever killed him.
But if it wasn't suicide, who did kill him? And why?
That's what I'm trying to find out, Sir Ronald. That's why I'm here.
My dear young lady, I've already...
Perhaps Tom's murder had something to do with his work in the Foreign Office.
Oh, really, Miss Farrell?
Somebody may have tried to force him to reveal secret information, and when
That's quite impossible. Your brother at no time had access to our secret files, nor even to our confidential files. He was a very junior employee.
I know that.
You have my assurance that nothing like that could have happened.
Well... If you say so. You knew Tom well, Sir Ronald.
Did he ever mention to you that he was in trouble of any sort? Apart from financial trouble, I mean.
I make it a rule never to discuss personal affairs with my staff.
Then you can't help me at all.
I'm afraid not.
I must apologize for having wasted your time.
Not at all. Goodbye, Miss Farrell.
Goodbye, Sir Ronald.
Hello there.
Hello, Clark.
Well, it's just as well I arrived early. You couldn't have been in there more than a couple of minutes.
I wasn't.
Yes, and if I'm any judge, you didn't have much success.
No.
Well, what did he say?
He simply ridiculed the whole idea in a few well-chosen words and showed me the door.
Yeah, he would. Oh, anyway, the heck with him.
Ah, now I see why he was so anxious to get rid of me.
Huh? Oh, that blonde just going into the building, you mean?
Yes, it's Vanya Dean, the actress. Ah. They're supposed to be close friends. Very attractive, don't you think?
Mm, not my type.
What is your type?
Well, maybe I'll tell you a little later. Well, let's get into the car and go. Tony's Bar, first stop.
Ronnie, I'm sorry. Really, I am. I behaved stupidly last night. I said things I shouldn't have.
You certainly did.
It was just that, well, hearing that man say all those dreadful things about me, I lost my temper. I'm sorry, darling.
It's too late, Vanya.
Too late?
You were right. We're through.
But I'm trying to tell you. I didn't mean that.
Perhaps not. But I do.
Ronnie. I thought we might drive down to the coast. Have dinner.
It's no good, Vanya. I've had all day to think it over. And shall I tell you what conclusion I've reached? That Fordingham was right.
You can't mean... You can't possibly believe that I'm a spy.
That wasn't his word, you know. It was your own.
But he practically said...
Oh, no. He said no such thing. What was it, Vanya? A guilty conscience?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you do. That sudden interest in my work after all this time. Very clever, my dear. And like a fool, I fell for it.
Oh, please, Ronnie, you mustn't say things like that.
But it's true, isn't it? Isn't it? And tonight we're going to drive down to the coast. Empty flat, report in safe. I see it all now. You are a spy, or as near as makes no difference.
It's not so, I swear it.
Well, we'll soon see about that.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Ring Fordingham, of course. Let him decide.
Oh, Ronnie, please. Ronnie!
Excuse me, Brooke.
Hello.
That's you, Fordingham.
Yes.
This is Ronald Luke. I'm speaking from my flat. Can you possibly come over here at once?
Yes, I dare say. But what did you want to speak about?
That matter we were discussing last night.
Oh, yes.
I think you should know that...
Hello. Hello. Are you there, Luke? Hello. What's the matter? Something's happened to Luke. He's either had a seizure of some kind or...
What?
I don't know. Come on. Let's get over there at once.
We'll
have to break down the door. All right, ready.
Now! Once again. Now!
That's it. Luke, where are you?
There he is.
Hey. Good God. Is he dead?
Yes. Looks like compound fracture of the skull.
Yes, it does.
It's paperweight, I imagine.
I shouldn't touch him if I were you.
No, I won't.
Now, have a look around. See if you can find any evidence of who's been here.
Okay. How about the police?
I don't know.
They'll have to be told.
Yes, yes, I suppose so. All the same, we don't want this to get into the newspapers. I've got it. Clavering. Most discreet man at the yard. I'll ring him now.
I say, look at these.
Huh?
A letter from a Judith Farrell asking for an appointment.
Judith Farrell? She was at that dinner party at Lady Blanchard's. Anything else?
And this. It's a note in Luke's diary for today. Miss Farrell, 5:30.
You surely don't think...
Well, it was only a quarter of an hour later that Luke was knocked on the head.
Yes, but... Hello? Put me on to Detective Inspector Clavering, please.
Signor Hungerford, what can I get for you in the signorina, please?
Champagne cocktails, Tony, and make them good.
Si, signore. Very good.
Champagne? Are we celebrating something?
I hope so.
Can't be Independence Day, I know that much.
No, it's not.
Perhaps it's your birthday.
No.
What is it, then?
Well, Well, look, Judy, how long have we known each other now?
Just under a week.
Well, is that all? It seems a lot longer.
I'm not at all sure. You're being complimentary.
Oh, no. I didn't mean it that way. I meant, well, for so short a time, we've gotten to know each other pretty well, don't you think?
Yes, I think we have.
And after all, time is relative. So Einstein says, a week, a month, a year. What's the matter?
You're being very philosophical this evening.
Yes, I guess I am. Because I'm scared.
Scared?
Well, I mightn't look it, but I am. Judy, this is going to come as a great shock to you, so hold on to your hat, but will you marry me?
Clark!
Well, I know this is a heck of a place to ask you, all these people, I mean. You probably think I'm crazy, but, well, it's sort of easier here somehow.
Do you really mean it, Clark?
Oh, sure I mean it. You don't think I'm just talking to pass the time, do you? I'm trying to tell you that I love you, Judy. From the first night we met at Lady Blanchard's, remember?
Of course I do.
I knew then this was going to happen someday. Well, it had to. But I never thought I'd pluck up courage so soon. Oh, you don't have to answer right away if you don't want to.
And if I do want to?
Judy. You don't mean it. You can't possibly mean it.
Yes.
I can't believe it. Gosh.
Your champagne, you signore.
Tony, you're talking to the future Mrs. Hungerford.
So, this is the recent news?
Yes, very recent.
In that case, the champagne is on Tony.
Oh, Tony, I didn't mean that.
I salute your very good fortune, signore.
And mine, I hope, Tony.
But, of course, signorina.
I hope you like this, Judy. But I happened to be passing a jeweler's shop this morning, and I just sort of spotted it in the window, and it looked all right. So I took a chance, and, well, here it is.
Clark, darling. Beautiful.
You really like it?
The most wonderful ring.
Oh, try it on for size. If it doesn't fit, the fellow said that you could take it.
But it does. Look. It's perfect.
It does look kind of good on, doesn't it?
I don't know what to say.
Nor me. Oh, it's just like a dream.
Then I hope I never wake up.
I'll try to make you happy, Judy. I promise. Come on. Let's drink. To us.
To us.
Well, hello, you two.
Oh, hello, Mr. Lester.
Hello, Gerald.
I should hold my head in shame, I know, but as we've already all apologized profusely to each other on the phone...
Oh, come on, forget it. Have a drink.
Oh, thanks, but I'm expecting friends any minute.
Oh, we insist, don't we, Judy?
Emphatically.
As a matter of fact, you're just in time to congratulate us.
Oh.
Look, isn't it beautiful?
Well, this is really something. I hope you realize, Hungerford, you're straining friendly Anglo-American relations a bit far.
How come?
I should be madly jealous. In fact, I am.
Okay, brother. What's it to be? Pistols at dawn?
A pinch of arsenic in your champagne. I think it's more certain.
Talking of champagne. Hey, Tony, another one of these, please.
Si, signore.
When's the wedding to be?
Oh, that's up to Judy.
As soon as you like. Good Lord. Here's Inspector Clavering.
Ah, Miss Farrell, I've been searching the whole of London
searching
for you.
Searching for me?
Is something wrong, Inspector?
I'm afraid so. I'll have to ask you to come along with me, Miss Farrell.
Is it something to do with Tom?
Not exactly. You'll hear all about it in a few minutes. Sir Brian Fordingham and a Mr. Brooke are waiting outside in a car. Forgive me, but it's urgent. I must insist.
Of course.
Is it all right if I come along, too? I'm Miss Farrell's fiancé. Also, I'm a friend of George Brooke's.
All right.
Oh, sorry about this, Lester.
I'll drink. Good luck to you both, anyway.
So I apologized to Sir Ronald for wasting his time, and he showed me to the door, and we said a polite goodbye, and... that was that.
That's all that happened.
Yes, Sir Brian.
How was Sir Ronald? Did you get the impression he was at all disturbed or upset?
Not in the least, Mr. Book.
You're quite sure there was no one else in the flat?
I didn't see anyone else. They may have been in another room.
Look, I know this is not my affair, but what is it all about?
At 5:45 this evening, while Sir Ronald was speaking to me on the phone, he was attacked by someone.
Attacked? Hey, wait a minute. You don't suggest that Judy...
We are simply trying to get at the truth, Mr. Hungerford.
Well, if you want the truth, here it is. At 5:45, Miss Farrell was with me.
What?
Yes, in fact, at 22. I knew she had this appointment, and I was waiting for her outside.
You'd swear to those times?
Certainly I would. And if you want confirmation, as we were about to drive off...
Oh, yes.
We saw...
Out with it, Clark. You saw what?
Well, I don't imagine there's any connection, but... we saw a woman called Vania Dean entering the building.
Vania Dean? Are you sure?
Yes, it was Miss Dean, all right. I met her only a few days ago.
I think I'd better go around and have a word.
No, wait. Let me do that.
But it's my duty. Brooks, right, Inspector. There'll have to be normal police inquiries, of course, but they can come later. At the moment, this is our pigeon.
That's all very well, but...
if you're worried at all, I'll speak to the Assistant Commissioner. Oh, you'd better get moving, George.
I'm on my way now.
Sir, what about Miss Farrell and me? May we go now?
Certainly.
I'm sorry to have put you to all this trouble, Miss Farrell, but I'm sure you understand.
Of course, Sir Brian.
There is just one thing.
Yes?
I dare say you realize there may be a great deal more to this than appears on the surface. So I beg of you both, most earnestly, to say nothing about it to anyone.
You might as well come clean, Miss Dean. We know you entered the building at 5:40. We know you went to Luke's flat. We know you were in the room with him when he rang Sir Brian Fordingham.
You know a great deal, don't you?
Enough to put you away for a long time, and I don't mean only for attempted murder either.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
No? Luke had found out something about you, hadn't he? And you struck him down to silence him. And what's more, we know that something was. You were after a paper he kept in his safe, weren't you? A certain report?
It's not true.
First you tried to persuade him, and then he became suspicious and tried to telephone, and so you attacked him. Then you panicked, and instead of opening the safe and getting the report, you ran for it.
I know nothing of any report. Why should I want such a thing?
Oh, not for yourself. Of course, you were acting on orders.
Whose orders?
That is exactly what I want to know. Now, look, I'll make a bargain with you. As things stand, you face a very serious charge. The police must act, and we can't stop them. But we can, I believe, persuade them to break the charge down to manslaughter. We can't promise, of course, but we'll do all we can. All we ask in return is the name of the man who sent you to get that report.
I don't know it.
Please, Miss Dean.
I don't, I tell you. I only spoke to him on the phone. He knew something about me. You see, he threatened to make it public if I didn't do as he told me.
Didn't he call himself anything at all?
Yes. The Prince of Plunder.
So that's it. Did you have a long conversation with him?
Fairly long.
And you didn't recognize his voice?
No. He had a foreign accent. It may have been assumed, though, because once or twice it did sound vaguely familiar.
Who did you think it may have been?
I wouldn't like to say. I may be wrong. And besides, he threatened me. I'm afraid.
We'll give you all the protection you need. Now, come on, Miss Dean. Who was it?
Well, it sounded to me rather like a man I met called...
Miss Dean!
Monsieur, I heard a noise. Madame!
Your mistress has been shot.
Shot?
From somewhere in that opposite building I met him.
Raymond.
Phone for a doctor at once. I'm going across to look whoever did it. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Oh, monsieur.
And you found no one at all?
It was an empty building. There were plenty of footprints in the dust, of course, but that's all. Whoever fired the shot must have made a pretty swift getaway.
Mm. And when you got back to the flat, Vanya Dean was dead.
Yes. A doctor had just arrived, but he was too late.
You found nothing in the flat?
Not a thing. I didn't expect I would.
So we're no further forward at all.
On the contrary.
Hmm?
All we have to do now is to find the man who calls himself the Prince of Plunder.
If he exists.
Oh, he exists, all right.
Scotland Yard's been on his trail for months. How can we succeed where they've failed?
Well, we happen to know something. The Yard doesn't.
What's that?
That he's not only a blackmailer, but also the man behind this international smuggling racket.
Yeah?
Which means we also know one of his associates is my old friend Lertz.
Lertz?
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Lertz who fired the shot that killed Vanya Dean. And I'll tell you something else.
Hmm?
I have a hunch that young Farrell's death is tied up in this somewhere.
You're doing a lot of guessing, Brooke.
Well, what's wrong with an occasional guesser? That's so long as it's right. Anyhow, it's good enough for me. I'll see you later.
Where are you going now?
To look for Lertz.
Of course, I don't know what your ideas are about a honeymoon, darling. But I figure it might be sort of nice to go back home.
To America, you mean?
Yes. You can meet my folks.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
They could come over for the wedding, I suppose, but... Well, if we're going to be married next month, it mightn't be so easy for Dad to leave his business so soon.
Excuse me, sir.
You haven't forgotten our coffee, have you, waiter?
No, sir. It will be here in a minute. You are Mr. Hungerford, aren't you, sir?
Yes.
I've been asked to give you this note.
Who by?
I couldn't say, sir. It was left with the commissioner.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Who can this be from? Who'd know we were dining here tonight? It's from George Brooke. Listen to this, Judy. I just unearthed some important information about the death of your fiancé's brother.
Clark! Gone?
I have an appointment now, but if you can be outside Holborn Tube Station at 11 o'clock, one of our fellows will pick you up and take you to where I am. Sorry if this sounds complicated, but I'll explain when I see you.
George. 11 o'clock. That'll just give me time to run you home first.
Oh, can't I come too? I mean, if it's about Tom...
I'm sorry, darling. But if George wanted you as well, I think he'd have said so.
Oh, I suppose so. Clark, you're sure this note is genuine?
Oh, why shouldn't it be?
I don't know. It just seems a little odd, that's all.
Well, you know how it is with these cloak and dagger boys. They make everything seem so mysterious.
I suppose it is in Mr. Brooks' handwriting.
I wouldn't know. I don't think I've ever seen it before.
I don't think you should go. It might be a trap of some kind.
Now, who'd want to trap me? And for why? It doesn't add up. Now, stop worrying yourself over nothing, honey.
Your coffee, son.
Sorry, waiter. Looks like we'll have to skip it. Let me have my check, will you, please?
Very good, son.
Mr. Hungerford?
Yes?
Ah, you're right on time. I've a car over here.
Oh, I've got mine, too.
Oh, that's a complication, I'm afraid.
Well, suppose you drive to wherever we're going, and I'll follow.
Mr. Brooks said nothing about that. I think you'd better leave yours here, and you can pick it up later.
Okay. You're the boss.
Let us go, then, shall we?
Is this the place?
Yes. Will you follow me? Yes, that's right.
Look, I'm not quite sure.
Nice work. Let's shut the door.
Right.
What are we going to do with him? Help me drag him over here.
Right.
We'll tie him to this chair. That's the idea. Give me a hand. He's coming round already, I think. Good. A bit tighter, I think.
Yes.
That's more like it.
What happened?
Good evening, Mr. Hungerford.
Lester... But I thought I was...
Going to meet your friend, Brooke. Exactly. I'm sorry, but one has to resort to a little subterfuge now and then.
I don't get all this.
Then I shall do my best to enlighten you. My colleague, Mr. Lertz here, first suggested he should lie in wait for you as you were going home. He's a very good shot, as Mr. Lertz, and I'm sure he'd have done an excellent job, but there was a risk and he might have failed.
I didn't fail with the Dean woman, did I? Or with Gattaker?
I don't question your efficiency for a moment, Lertz, but this way is better. You see, if a man's to die, it's better he should know why. Don't you agree, Mr. Hungerford? Or don't you follow me yet?
I follow you, all right.
Good. I was willing to overlook our little fracas at my flat the other night. Rather generously, you must admit. But you should never have got yourself engaged to Judy. That, I'm afraid, was fatal.
You mean to say
that... Exactly. Pistols at dawn, Mr. Hungerford? Your own phrase. Only there'll only be one pistol in the very capable hand of Mr. Lertz.
You don't kid yourself that even with me out of the way, Judy's going to fall for you, do you?
I think it's possible. Gratitude can easily turn to love.
And what's she got to be grateful to you about?
I propose to clear up the mystery of her brother's death, to remove the stigma of suicide, which she appears to find so distressing.
Yeah, cook up some evidence, you mean, to make it look like murder?
But, my dear fellow, it was murder. Or shall we call it justifiable homicide?
Huh?
Young Farrell was very foolish. He was heavily in debt, and I offered him money in return for copies of certain documents in the possession of his chief, Sir Ronald Luke. It seemed a fair enough bargain to me.
It would, to you.
But far from being grateful, he called me a number of unpleasant names and threatened to expose me.
So you killed him, huh?
He left me no choice, I'm afraid.
And how do you figure you're going to sell the police a story like that without implicating yourself?
That's quite simple. I shall implicate you. When your body's found, there'll be certain papers in your wallet which will make it quite apparent you've been using your position at the embassy to obtain and pass on information to certain people in Switzerland.
Oh, you're crazy if you think anyone's going to believe that. Come to think of it, you're crazy anyway.
No! Oh. Never say that again.
You're crazy. Crazy. Crazy.
Get him, Lutz.
What? No, you don't.
George.
All right, Lutz. You won't need the gun. Drop it.
Boy, am I glad to see you. Look out. Lester's got a gun.
Oh, my God.
Over against that wall, Lutz. Keep your hands well up. Now turn your back. That's the idea, and stay like that. Let's set you loose first, Clark. There. There we are. How's that?
Fine.
Take this gun and keep an eye on Lutz.
Right.
I'll see if there's anything I can do for Lester. Lester, can you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't want to shoot you, but you forced me.
This way.
Maybe you're right. Listen to me, Lester. You've got a last chance to square your conscience. I know you were working for someone else.
Yes. Someone else.
Who? What's his name?
name.
Yes, who is he?
Did you get it, George?
Yes, I got it. Lester? He's dead, I'm afraid.
Well, I can't shed any tears over that. Well, what are we going to do with this Lurt now?
Turn around, Lurt.
No, no, don't.
You can lower your hands now. Give me your wrists. Those will keep you quiet till we turn you in.
Turn me in?
For a couple of murders you were kind enough to admit. Gattaker was my friend, remember?
So you were listening, George.
Well, you don't imagine I got here by chance, do you?
Well, I've been trying to figure out just how you did get here.
Oh, that's easy. I just picked up Lurtz's trail and saw him meet you outside Hoban Tube. So I thought I'd better join the party, just in case.
Well, it's lucky for me you did.
Oh, I'd have intervened sooner. Only I was interested to hear what Lester had to say. We've a lot to do yet. Come on, Clark, let's get moving, shall we?
There you are, Hector. Check.
Oh, I believe you've got me, Gilbert. I can only go there.
Of course I've got you, dear boy, right where I want you. There. Oh. Mate.
Yes, not very good at chess, are you, Hector?
Oh, my dear fellow, it ill becomes a winner to gloat.
Oh, bad loser, eh?
Not at all. I think I'd better go.
Nonsense, it's early yet, just after midnight.
It's all right for you actors, natural night birds, all of you.
What you need, old boy, is another whiskey. Now, say when.
Oh, really, Gilbert? Just a small one, please.
What's the good of a small one? Here, have a real snorter.
You're obnoxiously hearty tonight, I must say.
Well, why not? God's in his heaven, and all's right with the world.
I detest heartiness.
You know what's the trouble with you, Hector? Liver, not enough exercise. Now, take me, for instance.
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, what is it, Jameson?
Two gentlemen have called, sir.
At this hour? Who are they?
A Mr. Brooke and a Mr. Hungerford, sir.
Hungerford?
Our young American friend. Naive, but rather charming.
Oh, yes, that chap, yes. Well, damn it, what can they want? Oh, ask them in, Jameson.
Very good, sir.
Now, if you'd rather not stay, dear boy.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all.
Mr. Brooke, Mr. Hungerford.
Good evening, Hungerford.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, Sir Hector.
Oh, delighted to see you again, young man.
I'd like to introduce a friend of mine, Mr. George Brooke. Oh. Sir Gilbert Mildmay.
How do you do?
Sir Hector Panderville.
How do you do?
Well, now then, gentlemen. Drinks?
No, thanks.
Not for me.
You'd better do the talking, George.
Bless my soul, this all sounds very serious.
It is, I'm afraid, sir. First, let me explain. I'm a member of what's commonly known as the Secret Service.
One of Fordingham's boys, eh?
Yes.
How interesting. Do go on, Mr. Brooke.
Recently, while he was investigating a certain smuggling activities on the continent, a colleague of mine was murdered. I traced his killer, a man named Lurtz, to England. In the course of my inquiries, I discovered that the man behind the smuggling racket was the blackmailer known as the Prince of Plunder.
One up to me, Hector. Didn't I always insist there was such a man?
Assuming we can accept Mr. Brooke's story, of course.
You can accept it, all right, sir. As you can guess, this Prince of Plunder is a man of considerable social standing. Over the years, he's kept diaries of these activities. And, as a result, he's been in a unique position to extract blackmail. Normally, he's worked through what one might call a chief of staff. A man you both know.
Who the devil's that?
Gerald Lester.
Lester? Really, Mr.
Brooke? Oh, I can't believe it. It must be some mistake.
We've had his confession, Sir Gilbert.
You mean he's under arrest?
Lester is dead.
Dead? And this man, what did you call him, Lurtz?
He's in custody on two charges of murder.
Tell me, Mr. Brooke, as a matter of curiosity, in his confession, did Lester name the man he worked for?
Yes. That's how we found the diaries. We've been doing a little burgling. Strictly illegal, of course.
Where about?
231 Lowndes Square.
231... Why, damn it!
Exactly, Gilbert. My address.
But,
You seem to have done very well, Mr. Brooke. Allow me to drink to your success.
Grab that glass, Clark.
Yeah. Right.
Let me go. You'll break my arm.
You got it, George.
Yes. I thought so.
Will someone please tell me what this is all about?
You weren't quite quick enough, Sir Hector. I saw you drop the tablet in the glass. There'll be no easy way out for the Prince of Plunder.
Not you, Hector. Surely not you.
My dear fellow, don't look so surprised. After all, you're not the only good actor in the world, you know.
If you're quite ready, Sir Hector, shall we go?
In The Prince of Plunder, adapted by Rex Renitz from the novel by Sidney Haller, Sir Hector Pandeville was played by James Thomason, George Brooke by Clifford Norgate, Sir John Mildmay by Godfrey Kenton, and Clark Hungerford by Edward Bishop. Elizabeth Cassey played Judy, Diana Payan, Betty, Hector Ross, Sir Brian Fordingham, Edward Kelsey, Inspector Clavering, Ian Cooper, Sir Charles Morley, Rosemary Martin, Vanya Dean, John Bentley, Sir Ronald Luke, Griselda Harvey, Lady Blanchard, Peter Tuddenham, Gerald Lester, Anthony Brothers, Lertz, Robin Brown, Tom Farrell, Cordelia Mansell, Marie, Ian Ricketts, the croupier, Anthony Higginson, Jameson, and Kim Grant, Lady Blanchard's butler. The Prince of Plunder was produced by David Geary.